Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I'm going to start off in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Hallelujah. You know, if you'd said to me 20 years ago that I'd be giving up my passion of milking cows for a living and running a sheep property in Victor Harbour, I'd say you need your head read. Nobody deals with sheep that's in a normal state of mind. Real farmers milk cows for a living. But you know, God equips us, releases us into His calling for our lives. His intention is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of Him. We know that there's going to be many on that day of Jesus' return that'll, you know, just be left behind, that we'll be caught up in the air and we'll be with Jesus. And we'll be with Him while persecution reigns on earth. And I certainly don't want to be around when that happens. But in the meantime, friends, in that gap between today and when Jesus returns, how many souls are crying out for salvation in your world and in my world? How many people have pushed God away from their lives, either intentionally or unintentionally? But there's a hole, a Jesus-shaped hole in their heart that needs filling. And so while we've got our Bibles open here to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to read verses 11 onwards. I want to read from 10 onwards, but if I keep going back, I'll never get my message out. But Jesus had a plan through the Father to bring millions of people to Him. Millions. And, you know, we live in a community of 14,500 roughly in Victor Harbour and 30-odd thousand across the southern Fleurieu here. And statistics have shown, and we did a recent research, that on a good Sunday, there would be barely 900 people going to church. It used to be over 1,000, dropped down recent numbers, just barely 900 people. So out of 30,000 people, if 900 are going to church, you do the math, 29,100 people are either not attending fellowship, not being part of a local church, not interested in God, not interested in fellowshipping with other Christians, being burnt, offended, turned off by the church more than God. But on the day of Jesus' returns, the day Jesus returns, many of those people will face eternity without Him. Now let's look, see what the Bible says here about what Jesus planned for days just like today. And it says, He, Jesus, who descended in the very same as He who was always ascended high above all the heavens, that He, His presence, might fill all things. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. The whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. Verse 11, and His gifts were varied. He Himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, His intention. Jesus' intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints that they would do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Jesus appointed some with giftings, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. He designed men and women to go out and equip the saints, to build them up, to make them strong, to encourage them, to release them. And sadly, from my position as I move across church community, I see that power and that authority that Jesus laid down his life for is sitting stagnant in many cases in the churches, within the lives of would-be believers. And friends, my heart goes out to churches who don't even preach the Word of God on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or a Sunday afternoon when they gather. But as I understand that the Lord's return is getting nearer and closer by the day, my heart as your pastor, as the shepherd of this local flock, is to make sure that we, myself included, are equipped fully to do the work of ministry that God has called us into. Now, you may not have the revelation, but on the day of your salvation, the whole of heaven was made available to you. Healing, provision, deliverance, strength, wisdom, insight. The very power and authority of heaven was released into your spirit man, and your spirit and the Spirit of God became one. When did that happen? On the day of your salvation. Friends, can I ask the question? With all the authority, with all the power of heaven now residing within you, how many of us honestly are not really utilizing that power and that authority? Everyone's using? Anyone with hands not up? I'm being really serious here because it concerns me that the very Son of God hung on the cross, died on your behalf, hung there in shame, hung there in misery, hung there in pain, so that you, the very saints of God, would be equipped with the fullness of heaven to go about doing what he called you to do. Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, seeing demons flee, raising them from the dead, those who have died. And Jesus had these words, "And greater things than these will you do also." Now, friends, I'm going to ask the question again. How many of us, knowing that the fullness of the authority and the power of heaven is now abiding in us as born-again believers, don't utilize fully that power and the authority? Let's really be honest. Yep. And if you're believing that you're operating in that fullness, friends, you need to take this place and I'll take yours. Because there are still sick among us. There are still among us people who are believing for healing. Jesus said, "You will lay hands on the sick," and what? They might get better? They will recover. You'll lay hands on blind eyes, Dirk, and those eyes will see. Deaf ears, Robin, will be opened. The lame shall walk, Tony. The dead shall be raised. I've come to this place in my life, friends, where I'm not going to muck around with what sounds like a nice message. Because I have insight into what God has got planned for this house. And when that power and that authority gets released in all of us, then we will see signs. Then we will see wonders. Then we will see miracles. And they won't just occur on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning when people come in and line up for prayer. You will be as bold as lions, the Bible says. You will tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the work of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Can I have an amen? Are you hungry for that? Are you desiring that in your life? Or do you just want to sit here on a Sunday and go, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord," and then go back to sickness, go back to lack, go back to fear, go back to doubt, go back to unbelief, go back to unbelieving family, going into work situations where you're just oppressed of the devil, because greater is them that is in them than he that is in you. Are you tired of it? Are you fed up with the enemy's work over our lives? Thank you for the response. Because I am. My heart is for this house. I've been appointed as shepherd over this flock. As a member of this flock in my early days. Cared for, nurtured, preached to, taught over, anointed with oil, corrected, directed, redirected, recorrected. But it's that power of God when it comes into your life and you have that, that's not a revelation of it, but you begin to move into it, that God begins to use you. Jesus said in the last few lines of Matthew, go into all the world and have a lovely latte with whoever you meet. Go into the world and just spend time on Facebook or in front of the television. Go into all the world and just enjoy life. No, what did he say? Go into all the world. Preach what? Good news. Anyone got good news this morning? I got some good news. Jesus is Lord. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm with him right there now. All things of the enemy are under my feet because I'm in Christ. The good news is Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. I'm not pure and spotless yet, but I'm working towards it because he's directing me and correcting me. But I want that power and I want that authority that the Word talks about to be released not just in my life so I can say, look what happened in my week. I want you to be rushing in here and saying, Pastor Lou, can you believe what happened in my week? Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1 right now. Book of Luke. I love reading the Gospels. I love the work of Jesus. I love the Word of Jesus. Amen. Wow, we've got some stuff in here, just story after story of what God does and how he does it. And oh man, where does one begin? The adventures of faith. Who stole Luke chapter 1 out of my Bible? There it is. Hallelujah. Verse 26, it talks about the birth of Jesus foretold. Now in the sixth month after the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married, and a virgin engaged to be married to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God, are you before all other women. But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused, the Amplified says, at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean. And the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace. The Amplified says, free, spontaneous, absolute favor and loving kindness with God. And listen. Well, think of an angel turned up at my place and said, and listen, I'd be already listening. And listen, you will become pregnant and will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his forefather David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband? And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud, and so the holy, pure, sinless offspring which shall be born of you will be called the Son of God. Right there in the early recordings of Dr. Luke, the angel comes to Mary and he speaks of future, where God is about to release the very power, the very authority of heaven to be formed and delivered through her body, the Virgin Mary, with such an influence that his reign shall know no end. Aren't you glad about that? That God's reign through his son Jesus has no ending. If you're a historian, if you read story about the martyrs that, you know, were threatened with life, you know, all sorts of cruel things done to them, they said, we're not going to renounce Jesus. We're going to stand strong because Jesus is Lord. You know, time after time, people try to bring down the Bible and bring down the truths of God and bring down the houses of worship and all those sort of things. But God's reign through his son Jesus has no end. Amen? I really struggle with the fact that modern day Christianity in our Western world has really been dumbed down to the point where we're really just a religious club. And that sounds cruel and that sounds harsh, but many onlookers, many people I speak to, look at church and they go, what is the point? Why do you bother? Why do you do what you do? Why do you believe in a God you've never seen? The truth of the matter is that right through history, if you read Genesis right through to Revelation and read history onwards, there's always been people that would mock and taunt and say the church has no relevance and they have no authority and they have no power. But you know, I believe God is bringing the church back to beyond normal and above normal, and we're going to be supernatural in what we do in these last days. Amen? But the reality is, if I'm going to do the ministry that Jesus has called me into, if you're going to do the ministry that Jesus has called into, you need a power that is greater than yourself. Amen? You cannot do it in your own strength. Have you ever tried street preaching because you were told to? Stood on a street corner or witnessed to someone, your heart wasn't in it, you really didn't want to do it, and you thought, oh, this is just a waste of time. But on the converse, have you ever been in that place where God has said, I want you to talk to someone about the love of God or what he's done in your life? I had an interesting scenario here on Friday afternoon. I'd come into the office and I had my grandsons with me. We were hanging out, doing a couple of things together, and a lady from the Lions Club come in, and we got to talking, and the boys were mucking around, and she said, so tell me, honestly, Lou, did you vote yes or did you vote no? And I said, you go first. She says, no, I know you voted no, can you tell me why? So I briefly just went through why I voted no, and I said, from the way you're talking, I guess you voted yes. And she's a woman probably a few years older than me, fairly high-flying executive in her time, fairly deep thinker. And I said, so tell me, in your age, in your generation, why would you allow the doorway to be flung open under this same-sex marriage bill? She said, well, I don't really think the door's going to be flung wide open. And she started to tell me about relatives she's got, girlfriends with girlfriends, and couples of guys that have been together for years and just want to get married. And I said, no, I do a lot of work across the high school. And I said, I hear a lot of the stories that come out of sex education programs and safe sex and all this stuff. I said, don't you think for a moment that once we introduce it's okay, that it's okay to do anything, will start to creep its way in? And she actually went red and she got embarrassed. She said, I've never even thought of that. And really, for a woman her age and her experience and knowledge and the deep thinking she is, I was quite surprised by that. But you see, I didn't preach Jesus to her. What I did, I explained it from the reality of what the Word speaks to me about why I would vote no on that situation. All right, we're in the book of Luke. Let's keep going. Luke chapter 4. You see, what we've got to realize, that God knew that we couldn't do it without him. That man had tried, your Abrahams, your Davids, your Gideons, your Jeremiahs, Nehemiahs, you know, the list goes on. There was only one way for the very power, the very authority of heaven to be restored into mankind, and that was through God's only Son, Jesus. And so God releases his power, as I said, on that day of salvation. He releases not only power, but the very authority of heaven into every born-again believer. We become a storage box, if you like. We become a storehouse for the authority and the power of heaven. I have within me now the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Have you? Your immediate answer should be yes. If I'm a born-again believer, you're a born-again believer, the same power, now you think about this, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, how many know that's a fairly unique task, now abides in you. I can't do it on my own, but with Christ I can do all things. Amen? So in Luke chapter 4 and in verse 36, Jesus just cast out an evil spirit. The Bible records, and they were all amazed and said to one another, "What kind of talk is this? For with authority and power he commands the foul spirits, and what? They come out." Amen? Is that what your Bible says? "And they come out." With authority and with power. I don't know whether any of you have been involved in deliverance sessions, casting out of evil spirits. I've done a little bit of it. I know it's not something you walk in lightly. But I long for the day where if I recognize a spirit that's not of God on someone, I speak to that spirit with the authority, with the power of Jesus, and I see that spirit go. Amen? Would you like to see that in your own life? Not for your glory, but for his glory. And these people in this passage here were absolutely amazed, the Bible says. They were amazed and said to one another, "What kind of talk is this?" King James says, "What a word is this?" Now, I keep going back to that day of Pentecost. After Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," his plan from that point onwards was to release believers into his church, to break down those walls of religion, to break down those controlling things that man had on the church, and to release the church into the power that Jesus lived in every day. You read Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "And you shall receive power, that which when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." He's talking to the believers in the upper room, he's talking to the disciples. And it says, and in chapter 2 it says, "And when that day of Pentecost had fully come, there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind." You know, you read the chapter and you see what God did with the releasing of the power that Jesus promised in Acts chapter 1:8, when it was released upon the believers gathered in that upper room. And I can't find a passage in my Bible that says, "And then it all stopped. And that day ceased. And the Holy Spirit went home to be with the Father." I can't find anything like that. But as I read the Gospels and read the book of Acts, I get fired up about what God has got planned for his church when that power and that authority that's within us begins to be released. Amen? Come over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1. It says, "Then Jesus called together the 12 apostles and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." What did he give them? Power and authority. Isn't it unique that God does the whole thing together?
He says the Bible doesn't record he gave them power over demonics, over sickness and disease. He says he gave them power and authority. And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing. And he said to them, do not take anything for your journey, neither walking stick nor wallet for a collection bag.
Whoa.
Nor food of any kind, nor money, and do not have any undergarments or tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there until you go away from that place. And wherever they do not receive and accept and welcome you, when you leave them, shake off even the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. There's a strong word from the Lord. There's an encouragement that not in every place you'll go to will be accepting of what you bring to them. You don't put a curse on them. You don't badmouth them. You don't gossip about them. The Bible says you just merely dust your feet, move on. Amen? Doesn't stop there. And departing, they went about from village to village, preaching the gospel and restoring the afflicted health everywhere. They went from village to village, preaching good news and restoring the afflicted to health everywhere. Power is the capacity I have in my life due to my posture. If I'm a bent over old man, I'm not being rude to bent over old men. If I don't have the strength in my back, if I no longer have the strength in my hands or my arms or my shoulders, the expectation that's upon me to perform what may need to be lifted and shifted is greatly diminished. Amen? Likewise, in the supernatural, our power is dependent on our posture. The Bible says that when King David was facing imminent defeat, the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How many are here this morning in the habit of doing that? You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's an encouragement to myself. When things look difficult, when things look hard, we have an innermost strength which comes from the Lord. Sometimes a natural physical strength. Sometimes it needs to be a mental strength. Other times it needs to be a spiritual strength. I got caught out the other night. I had to deliver a fridge to someone. It was getting late in the evening. I promised I'd deliver them a fridge. So I found them a beautiful, nice, family-sized fridge. Coming up to 7 o'clock at night, I promised Pastor Robin I wouldn't be late. Get round to the house, nobody's home. The door's unlocked. I know the family well. I thought, well, I'll deliver the fridge and talk to them tomorrow. Big family-sized fridge. Got it off onto the sack truck. Got it to the doorway. It's 2 inches too wide. Not the doorway, the fridge. It's starting to rain. I'm thinking, Lord, tomorrow's another day. The Lord said, I want you to finish it. You promised. You gave your word. You deliver a fridge today. Deliver the fridge today. Back onto the trailer goes the refrigerator. Back around to the storage shed. Unload the big fridge. Take out a smaller fridge. As I'm backing into their driveway, the family arrive home going, wow, what a beautiful fridge. Thank you for bringing it around. The rain stopped by this stage. I deliver the fridge. I put it inside. I go, wow. It's only 8 o'clock and you've finished your work. I said, not quite, but... You know, but what I could have done was just said, hang it. I'll phone a friend tomorrow, Dennis.
and I'll just get someone to help me unload the big fridge and someone else to load and we'll deliver and all that. But you know, the Lord said, I want you to finish what I called you to finish. And sometimes those fridges are heavy. Sometimes those fridges are awkward. Sometimes you just get frustrated because, you know, 50 mil. Really? But I felt such peace because I'd called on the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what the condition is of the fridge that's back in the storage shed, but Lord, I know it's smaller. I know it'll fit in the doorway. Lord, let it be a good fridge. And the family were just over the moon with this new fridge. But, you know, when we lack strength, it's that. Those days we call on the Lord, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be spiritual. All right, we know that Jesus released the 12. Let's go down to Luke chapter 9 now. Luke 10, sorry, the next chapter. We've heard of the disciples going out in that power and authority. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 1, again, it says, now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and went out ahead of them, two by two into every town. I'm going to read it with my glasses on. Sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come to visit. And he said to them, the harvest indeed is abundant, but the farmhands are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Now here's an encouraging word from the Lord. Can you picture what's just happening here? They've heard about what happened with the 12. They went out and they did signs, wonders, miracles. They came back, they reported to Jesus. Now Jesus is about to send out the 70, two by two, and he said, I'm sending you out as lambs into the wolves. Hey? Hang on, Jesus. I'm not ready to go and disciple yet. I'll do another 12-month Bible course. Can I just stay in for the prayer meeting, Jesus, and 69 others can go out without me? It doesn't end there. Because Jesus goes on and encourages them, even though they don't feel like the very power and the authority of heaven abides within them. He says, go your way. Behold, I send you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no provision bag, no change of sandals. Refrain from retarding your journey by saluting and wishing everyone well on your way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. Freedom from all the distresses that result from sin be with this family. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there, the peace and the blessedness you wish shall come upon him. But if not, it shall come back to you. Now here's the encouraging words of Jesus. When you and I are sent out under the unction of the Holy Spirit and we're feeling like those lambs in the midst of wolves. Here's a feeding pack. All these people are against church, they're against God, they're against anything the church does, and I'm in the middle of it, you're in the middle of it, and we're getting pounded. Oh, you Christians, you're just, you know, a mob of bigots, you know, you're after our money, and you're not really doing in the community and all that. But Jesus actually prepared them. He said, this is what you're going to go into, but don't worry, I'm going to follow you up. And before you go, let's read on. Because he didn't send them in ill-prepared, but he did prepare them by saying what was going to happen. Stay in that same house, verse 7, eating and drinking what they provide, for the labourer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whenever you go into a town and they receive and accept and welcome you, eat what is set before you. And heal the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. But whenever you go into a town and they do not receive and accept and welcome you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we are wiping off against you. Yet no one understand this, the kingdom of God has come near you. tell you, it will be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that town. Those are some strong words. 17, verse 17, return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons, the demonic forces, are subject to us in your name. They were lambs heading into a pack of wolves. Jesus said, don't worry, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. You have my authority, you have my power, you have whatever you need to get through. But if they don't like you, don't fret. I think we spend too much time fretting and not doing what we're called to do. Pastor Rob and I were talking about something on the way home last night. She said, you know what, I hate dentists. She said, I just break out in sweat. My beautiful wife sweats? No. Women don't sweat, do they? They glow. But that same fear that we might have about doctors, dentists, car repair bills, electricity bills that we haven't even seen, we fear about them more than we fear about what God has already gone ahead and done for us. Now, the 70 that are sent out in Luke here, chapter 10, already know the report of what happened to the 12 when they were out doing the work of Jesus. They came back rejoicing. They came back with good report. They came back with good news. But I love the way in Luke chapter 10 that he says you'll lay hands on the sick, you'll cure those who are diseased, and tell them that the kingdom of God has come to them. And he conversely says to the others that reject the disciples, and let them know that the kingdom of God has been near to them. In closing this morning, can I encourage us all that you are a carrier of the kingdom of God? You may not have had that revelation yet. You may not understand yet what that fully means, and I hope to tease it out just that little bit more next week. But within you, the fullness of the power and the authority of heaven here, storehouse in here. But the same power that raised Jesus from the dead in here. The same signs, wonders, miracles that Jesus performed and were repeated again through the book of Acts. Here. Not just here as your pastor, but here as the people of God. Just like some people go to a gym and lift weights to exercise. Just like people dig in the garden or work out in the vineyard or work in a shearing shed or work wherever we work, we exercise muscles and we build up strength. So it is in the supernatural that we are called upon to build up strength on the way to what God's got us as the finishing line. Go into all the world, preach good news. The Greek word go there in Matthew says about on your journey of life. On your way, getting from here to wherever you're going, preach good news. I may never be fully equipped to do what God's called me to do. I won't attain perfection until Jesus comes through the clouds, and the Bible promises me I'll be like him. But if I don't step out in faith and open my mouth, if I don't step out in faith and offer to pray for the sick, if I don't step out in faith, and when God gives me a direction and the Holy Spirit speaks about a demonic influence on someone's life and I recognize it, if I don't name it and cast it out, then that very power, that very authority that Jesus died for does not deserve to be in this body. Are you with me? My heart, God's heart for this house
is to be a great house of power and authority in His name and for His glory. We cannot afford to waste another day in exercising faith. I'm not going to go and lift some huge weight at the gym just because I think God wants me to. I'll start on the smaller stuff. I'll step out in faith with people that perhaps know me and say, "Can I pray for you?" If they say no, it's okay. I'm not going to fret about it. I might do it another day, I might never do it. Someone else can do it. But friends, can I encourage us all? The very power, the very authority of heaven abides in every one of us as a born-again believer. Don't waste it. Don't just be a storehouse. Be a conduit. Be a pipeline from heaven to you, from you to our community. See souls saved. See bodies healed. See demons flee. Who knows? We may even see the dead rise if we've got faith enough to exercise that power and that authority. Amen? Amen.